Well, good morning, good day, good evening, good night, wherever you are listening to this. It is 9 a.m. on Friday, and the date, we are March 20. We're now into April. It's April 21st, and this is our weekly health coach huddle. My name is Craig Blanchett, and this is a fun time where we get to hang out as coaches. We're learning some really, really straightforward coaching skills that every successful coach uses, and they're generative. They all kind of work together in a rhythm as you connect with people that are looking to improve their health, and then we learn how to interface and interact and find out what that looks like, and then bring them into the system and actually help them. So that's what we're doing today. I want to bring on the rest of our training team. You probably have noticed over the last few weeks at least that we're spreading the mentorship and we're starting to coach from the bench, if you will. A lot of people that were sitting on the bench are now getting into the game and providing our trainings. And so we've got just an amazing team. Alex McMillan, part of his, which is Diane Thompson, Daniela Carulli, and Kim Stewart. So it's my privilege, really, to bring that gang on for the training. Today's training is going to be talking about reviewing of mentorship and the conversations we had last week and a little bit of review. And then diving into how to tap into our list of people. So welcome, ladies.
Yay. Thank you, Craig. I think before we get started, I wonder if everybody brought their list. Does everybody on the call have their list? Okay. Who doesn't? Everybody, Carrie, you might want to grab it if it's kind of close, because we are going to be doing some work on our list today. But before we do that, I wanted to talk a little bit about mentorship once again. You know, last week we had a great conversation around mentorship and who your mentor coach is and who your business coach is. And, you know, it's great. Talk is great. But actions are what really move your business forward. So I would love to know who was able to find out. I'm sure most of you, all of you on this call, know who your mentor coach is. But if you were not, if you didn't know who your business coach is, who found out who their business coach is now?
Dan, I'm curious about the distinction. We have health coach, mentor coach, and business coach. Yeah. The health coach I got.
Yeah.
But those other two is a little bit fuzzy. I don't know if we can.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm, yeah. So, okay. So,
I don't know. So you know the answer to it, but we definitely, let's talk about what those are if you know about that.
Yeah. Well, does everyone here know the difference, or where's everybody at with that terminology? Because to me, you know, names don't mean that much, but if you want, you know, if you want to get really clear, we can discuss that a little bit. It's not really that hard, right? You're clear about what the difference is?
Can I jump in with you, Diane?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, awesome. So I think it might be really great if we just create those definitions right offhand so that we all are on the same page. So in terms, I'll just use my scenario to kind of share, if that's okay. So I have a business coach. We all do. Okay. Mm-hmm. My business coach is Diane, actually. So when Diane started her coaching practice and when she met me, she was still relatively new. So she really wasn't able to mentor me or guide me into the path of being a health coach because she was brand new too. So that created the need for a distinctive mentor coach. So for me, that's Alex. And so Diane is my business coach because she sponsored me, if you will. And but Alex is my mentor because he is the person who instructed, guided my path for being a health coach and a business coach as well. And Craig is also a mentor coach for me, as well as Dan Melman. So we may have multiple mentors that we go to, but most of us have a frontline person. My frontline mentor is Alex. Diane will forever be my business coach.
So curious, mm-hmm. your health coach then is always is the same thing as your business coach.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Diane is also my health coach. So she is actually the one who personally coached me in my own journey, my own process. But Alex coached and supported me more in the business side of it, although there's been some, of course, physical input for that physical journey as well. But so hopefully that clarifies. And thank you, Craig, for bringing that up, because your health coach is your business coach as well.
Now,
Just curious. Is it always that way?
No, sometimes your business coach and your mentor coach can be the same person.
Okay.
Right? So, so for the most part, I think, well, Kim, and you have to define that in your mind, who is your business coach and who is your mentor coach? How does that work for you in your line?
Are you talking to me?
I am, sorry.
Okay, sorry. So Daniela is my business coach and my mentor coach. And like we've been talking about, it's great that we can have multiple mentors. Because there might be unique challenges that other people can speak into.
I'm going to challenge that a little bit if I can, because there's actually somebody between Kim and I, right? So really your business coach, if you will, is Lisa, right? Who just, this business is not where she really wanted to be, but she wanted to help her sister a lot. And so she did help her sister. And so through all of this process, because Lisa is not active and couldn't support Kim in terms of her coaching, I became sort of both business and mentor coach, even though by technicality, Lisa is a business coach. So that's another scenario. But you can have a scenario also where somebody comes in. Let's say I came in now. Diane would be my business coach and my mentor coach if I were new right now under her. So that can happen too.
So for this, just for the sake of our point in the training, is we're primarily trying to figure out who's going to be the one that will mentor us to grow. The differences between the business coach and mentor coach may not be, those nuances may not be super critical to our training today, but it's just who is your upline person that you go for growth, to grow your business. Mm-hmm. And then the distinction between business and mentorship coach, I think is still a little bit weird. So I don't think that's the point we need to focus on today. It's just who's your support system that's there ahead of you, that's been coaching longer than you, that you tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. I think where the distinction becomes important that we touched on a little bit last week is if your business coach, the person who brought you into this business, is unavailable because they're an employee, or maybe they're not as invested in this business, or they've got life happening, or whatever it is, to understand who you can go to next so you're not stuck. Because that's the person, what we've been hearing is questions like, how do I acquire clients? How do I help my new coach? Well, those are questions that you go to your mentor coach with. They're the one to help you. So if you're not getting that answer from the person you think is your mentor, that's where we need to find who is that next person to help you. So hopefully that clarifies that a little bit.
So what we might do then now, because in my office in motion, I can only look to people that have come after me because of me. I can't look at anybody that came before me, right? And so what might be an activity is go to your coach and say, who's your coach? And then go to them and say, who's theirs? And so, because there might be like five or six people in between there that are technical business coaches, but they're not integrated. And so you want to leapfrog from trusted integrated mentor coach to trusted integrated mentor coach. And just so you know, above me, Dan Malman and Lynette Malman, that's the next tier up from me. And then I would say probably Terry Miller. And then Troy Drollinger. But anyway, so that's just so you know some names above me. And then below me, you know, I think we all are pretty clear who your mentor coach is.
Hey, I have a question. Can I throw some?
Yeah, Debbie.
Can you go lateral? And not necessarily like Daniela is with Alex. I'm with Alex. He's my business coach and health coach. And if Alex isn't available and Craig, you're not available, is it all right that knowing that Danielle is under Alex, that I could utilize her or Kim, somebody in that tier under Alex or you, can we go lateral too, knowing that they're seasoned?
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Like we're developing a group of three-way calling certified people that we'll talk about today, but we're developing, because when you do three-way calls, we want to use our team. So we want to use the entire family. But when you're going for mentorship, like business building stuff, you need to go up, right? And not across. So there's a little nuance there where we support each other for certain things, but they don't support you in building your business, but they'll support you in running your business. You know, by doing three-way calls, celebration things, meet and greets, stuff like that. We're developing a team of qualified people that know how to do these that we're going to deploy in the future, where all of you will know, I tap into this group and these are the certified people that can do that. And then there's a path for each one of you to get certified to be part of that group as well. But I'm going to stop talking at this point and hand it back.
I love what you're sharing, Craig and Debbie. I'm really grateful that you asked that because as a whole team, we want to support one another for sure. There's a little nuance about each of our businesses that's unique to each and every one of us on here. And the only person that really knows and understands those nuances is going to be people that are up from you, that can see into your business, that talk to you about your business and building it. Now, and that's why you don't want to go lateral for how do I build my business kinds of questions and what's my next move kinds of questions. Now, questions like, oh my gosh, you know, my client binder's in disarray, I need help with structure or whatever, you might find somebody laterally that has a system that you think, oh my gosh, if I did that, that would totally work for me. Yes, please call them. They would probably love to chat with you about it. But in terms of actually building your business and what do you do next to move your business forward, that's where you really need to go up. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. All right. Awesome. Diane, did I totally throw your ball out of whack now?
No, that's all right. No, okay. Well, I was wanting to have a discussion around mentorship because I don't think it's really clear sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and all the nuances of it. So I think this discussion is really great. So I think the key thing is that you find out who your mentor coach is if you don't mm-hmm. already know. So we were hoping that all of you would have done a little bit of research. Some of you are new. I don't think you were here. Steph, you weren't here last week. So does everybody on this call know who their mentor coach is? Raise your hand if you do. Okay.
I do.
So Steph, are you the only one that doesn't? Or did you raise your hand?
As far as I know, Craig's everything.
He is everything.
He's not your daddy.
And he's my son. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely your first line, right? Yeah. But there's also Dan and Lynette Malman too.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's real crucial, because things do happen, and sometimes you know Craig might be gone for a month or something, who knows, and you need
you just need a different voice. I mean, does that ever happen to you? I know sometimes I'll talk with Alex and I will so appreciate everything he's saying, but I've got a tweak in my brain on it.
Yeah.
And I talk with Craig about it and all of a sudden the tweak's gone. So, you know, it's not that Craig said anything amazingly different. Just maybe a different way of saying it, and it helped me get it, and vice versa.
Well, I did. I reached out to Kim, and then of course I came on to your guys' meetings, and so I've been trying to reach out for a little more diversity.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Diane, take it back, girl.
All right, I'll take it back. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the only discussion I was hoping to have around mentorship. So now we're going to talk about the list. And Kim is going to take it over, but I really want to talk a little bit about what it means, because the list, I think we underestimate the value of our list. It really is where the health of our business lies. The bigger your list, eventually the bigger your business will be. So it really is representative of the health of your business. So that's how important your list is. So Kim, it's all yours now.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm hoping to have quite a bit of discussion, because like Diane said, this is a really important part of your business. And if you are like me at all, you may have started a little hesitant with the list. And I can tell you I'm in a very different place now as I think about it. And I hope that we'll all kind of progress on that along that line. So if you have your list, go ahead and grab it and have it in front of you. The first question I wanted to ask, and just have a couple people jump off of mute, is, you know, why is a list important? Why do you think a list is important for you and your business?
My memory sucks.
That's a great point.
lists for me keep me on track, and my memory sucks too, but I'm a mom, so that's my excuse. And so I don't know what your excuse is, Craig, but okay. But also, like, it just keeps me, reminds me, like, who I need to connect with, and why I need to connect with them. Is it a follow-up? Is it initial? Is it a connection just to renew a relationship? You know, because I've got so many things on my mind with now almost a one-year-old, it's really a difficult thing to stay on task. And so I'm really working on making that list a priority, like almost like copying and posting it everywhere in my house, you know? So.
Great.
Yeah.
So we have memory. And then from what I heard from you, Christina, is not just the names, but kind of tracking where you're at with the different people. So that's great. Any other reasons or importance of why we have the list? Lynn Ann, yes.
Hi there, everybody. just creating my list, it really, if you start thinking about, okay, I know these people, the first thing, remembering like that I know these people, but then when I look at their name, I think I know they're not as healthy as they want to be. I mean, I do have two or three friends that really are, in their 50s or a little older, and they're dealing with all sorts of health issues, and they're over, you know, 100 pounds more overweight, and you know that they're dealing with hardships in their life. So if I don't have them on my list, I'm not going to think, you know, I need to be thinking about them and how to infiltrate into their life and reconnect.
Right. So it sounds to me like that's kind of an intention, right? You are looking at those names with intention. Yeah. Martin.
Yeah. I was just kind of listening to the, thanks, Lynn-Ann. That's, hope you're enjoying the sun in Idaho. We're actually a little sun today, but I was just reflecting on this. When we talk about this list, some of us get a little, when we were new, I got to find these lists and put these people down. When we freak out about that, but think of in other parts of our life, what do we make lists for? we help them to guide us through our day, whether it's going to the store, whether it's the things we have to do. We have no problem taking a look at that as far as what we want to put on this list that we need to accomplish today. But when it comes to someone's health, that maybe what we're doing can actually help them, we freak out about it. But we don't freak out about, I need to get some Oreo cookies. You know, I haven't been good this week, so I can just have a little bit of those, or I need to pay Sally Ann for her Girl Scout cookies that I'm going to throw away just because she cornered me at church. So the idea of, you know, just to reflect on that is the list is more like, who do we care about?
Yeah, I love that, Martin. And actually, just because you kind of brought it up, that's a great segue to the second question. So we know that these lists are important. It shows, you know, it puts the people we care about at the forefront of our mind. We know it helps us track where we're at in these conversations and what we can do to build relationships. Really important thing. Why or what prevents us from doing it? What gets in our way? Has anybody identified any of the hesitation? Eileen, do you have a hesitation?
Fear of not succeeding or even succeeding. Like, if I get it, so where do I go from there? So fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown, yes. Anything else that comes to mind? For me, when I started, I thought if I had, you know, it's something that I was told was good for me to do, and I kind of bought into it, but not completely. I kind of felt like, oh man, if I put these names on a list, I'm going to have to sell them something. I mean, that was where my mind was at when I was very new. Any other hesitations that come to mind with this list?
I'll share mine. When I first started putting names on a list, I actually meant that I needed to pick up the phone, and that was scary for me. Just initiating that was just scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that concept that if I write their name down, then I'm trying to get them, or I'm trying to sell them, or there's all this pressure to manipulate the relationship for some reason when I wrote their name down. Like just all these concepts about what it, you know, it's like if I'm going to have a party and I want to make sure everybody comes, I don't feel weird about writing their names on a piece of paper. Aunt Jo, you know, Uncle Bet, Uncle whatever, Bob, you know, I don't have a problem with that. And then the other thing is I think about, and I've done this with parties, well, I don't want to invite them because they're probably busy. And then I go, you let them decide if they're busy when it's a party. Let them say no. They can't say yes if you don't invite them. And so, anyway, these are all just my crazy things that happen with other lists for events that I've had and lists like this. So I don't know. That's my thoughts.
I just have one more quick thought, too. Most of you guys would be married, right? So when you got married, you made a list of who you wanted to invite to the wedding. And you probably broke it down to A, B, C, who has to come, who would be great to have, who, if we have room, will invite. Well, what if that list, what if your list for your wedding was unlimited and you could invite everybody you knew to come sell this, to celebrate this momentous day in the rest of your life?
Right.
What if the list was like that?
Yeah.
There wasn't an A, B, and C. There was just a list of people that you wanted to share this with.
Mm-hmm. Jim, did you have something you wanted to add in there too?
Yeah, it sounds like that most of us have this fear of, it's not that we don't want to contact anybody, but we have this fear of being rejected and not accepted. The list that Martin's talking about is a list of people that are excited about we're getting married. But how many people in our world that we think that if I share this with people, people are going to look at us differently? And you know what? That's exactly what I'm hoping that happens. I hope they look at me differently because it'll force me to continue on my journey and continue to get healthy. So that's how the list has helped me, making a list and contacting people and sitting in front of people and having a conversation about, do you want to get healthier, or are you as healthy as you want to be? So I think we have to get over our own self. It's not about the other person. It's about us.
Yeah. Yeah. And even I maybe it's a, just an opposite side of that coin, but I think sometimes I have felt like this list is about benefit to me, you know, and not to them. And sometimes we have to get past that piece too. So I want to take just a few minutes. What if our list was a master list of every single person that we knew? And we, and Danielle is going to go into this in more detail, but what if all our job was to match the person with the right invitation? Because we have a ton of invitations. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So what that requires, if we are missing people on our list, if an opportunity comes up, like Craig said, our memory is not going to connect to that person with that opportunity. So we want our list to be as complete as possible. And then we can decide which invitation will fit perfectly. So let's look at our list. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at some of the names on your list. And I want you to think about the relationship of them to you. And I'm going to give credit to Diane because she mentioned this the other day. She said, oh, my dentist is not on my list. So look, is your dentist on your list? If not, add them to it. And so I'd love for a couple people to come off of mute and say, hey, here's one. Is your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend on your list? I don't know. Just try to stump us. Add those names to the list. Who can come up with another one and say, this is on my list. Is it on your list?
Mechanic.
Is your mechanic on your list? Check it out. Not on my list.
Is your plumber on your list?
Pastor.
Like former employees. Mm-hmm. Like friends that you met at work that aren't with you anymore, that don't work with you anymore.
So coworkers, if you will?
Coworkers, yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Former quote, her, she was being even more specific, former coworkers. That's good.
Neighbors.
And what if I don't know my, I guess it's the neighbor on the left or the neighbor on the right. But then I just thought, oh, I should go get to know them.
Exactly. You know, that's actually my same thought. We just got new neighbors last month. And I was like, I know their first names. I don't know their last names.
How about your veterinarian? Because they're into doggy and cat health. You know, I mean, that's what they do. And your mail carrier.
Yeah.
I love that, Lanann, because do you ever notice that the heavy dogs and cats often have heavy people with them? And so the health of the dogs and cats are kind of dependent on the health of the people who have them. So I love that.
How about our gynecologists?
Use that one, huh, Craig?
I'm like, I don't have a veterinarian, but I don't have a gynecologist either.
I was going to say, Craig, if you have a gynecologist, we're in trouble.
Yeah, my wife is, though, so there you go.
Chiropractor.
Yes.
And even your dog groomer and your hairdresser, for sure, hairdresser.
What about trainers or training facilities that you may have used or been involved with?
You know what, Kim, something you said really, really struck me, and I want to reinforce it in my brain. This is my master list of people that I know. Mm-hmm. It's at least that. It can be more, but this is my personal white pages of people that I know. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to contact all of those people, but I need them in a master list. Ah, that's brilliant.
Well, and I think that to me, because I have had, you know, there are people, and I knew in my brain, there are people that are on this list because some little hang up, oh, I don't know what they would think of me or, you know, whatever, you know, but if this is a master list, we don't have to think about, you know, oh, but they're so healthy, they don't need to talk to me, or we don't have to do anything. This is just who I know. And then it's the next step that we can determine what the proper connection is with that invitation. And isn't this fun? Isn't that kind of fun thinking about all the people that we know? This is a very different process for me than when I first started. I'll tell you, I didn't want to put more than 10 names on my list. A combination of Daniela's fear of calling them and two, like, this is to benefit me and not them. And it's just so freeing to think about this in a different way. And so I don't know if there's a few more people that come to mind. Otherwise, Daniela, I'm excited to talk more about how we can use this list.
And Kim, here's just kind of a question as you're looking at these things is, did you ever think of, at one point we were all on the list, and why were we on that list? Why did someone care enough to put us on that list and overcome, as Jim mentioned, overcome the fear of picking up the phone and talking to us?
Yeah. And the other people, I was just going to say, it's really important that this is a living list. It is not done, and it's never done, because we're always meeting more people and we always need to be adding to the list.
Well, I notice about my list, now you kind of open the door, but the list I start out with are all people that I felt were not as healthy as they should be, where I'm judging. Now, my new lists are just people I know, so they may be healthy. So how do you approach those people that you know, but you hesitate? What would I say to them?
Oh, I love that, Eileen. So I think this next part might start to help with some of that as well. But I'll also toss out to you, are you aware of everything you have to offer? Because if we're limited to physical health as what we have to offer, and our viewpoint is that somebody possesses that, and I will challenge that, because there were a lot of people around me that thought I possessed the physical health that I desired, and were actually in shock that I went on program. So I would say, never assume that people are as healthy as they want to be, because so far I've learned that I know nobody that fits that category. So I'll throw that out there, but let's move on into a little bit of how we use that list, and I think that might open some more doors for you, Eileen, as well as all of us, I'm hoping. So I love, Kim, what you said about the living list, right? Because the thing is, if we have a certain number of people on the list and we never add any more, then at some point we're going to forget somebody when something really important comes up. And we have some really important work that we do and really important events and things that we can invite people to. I love what Martin shared about the wedding list, right? Well, we are so fortunate because we actually get to create that wedding list, if you will, where everybody gets to be a guest. There are no limitations to who can come. And so let's talk about that a little bit. How many of you have, you can just kind of raise your real hand, how many of you have planned a birthday party, a wedding, or a retirement event, or a dinner party or something? I'm pretty sure that probably all of us have done that in some way. Well, what I'm learning is that process is really no different than the process we need our list for. So when we have an event like a birthday party, even if we don't write necessarily the names of every single person we know down, we're kind of ticking through people in our head, or we're looking through some kind of contact list, whether it's an address book that you have or whatever. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person that does that, because we don't want to forget who we might really want to invite to this dinner party or whatever the event is. And as we're looking through, we might be triggered, oh yeah, there's Jim. And you know what? Jim's best friend, Sean, would also be great to have at the dinner party, right? And so you make connections like that in terms of who you're going to invite. And so if you have that master list already, you save yourself a lot of those steps of having to always go through, you know, my contact book, my phone, my, you know, all these different things. So Well, I think the key steps in the process are, first of all, identifying an event, right? Figuring out which event am I wanting to invite people to. And the really cool thing is most of our events, for the majority of us anyway, we don't have to do a whole lot of planning for, because there's usually a team involved. And so we get to skip out on a lot of that, and it allows us a lot of time to really focus on who we're going to invite. What I'd like to do is kind of brainstorm with you a little bit about the kinds of things that we have in our community to invite people to. Because I think once we have that list kind of going, what are the different options to invite people to, then we can start talking about how we use that master list. So let's just start throwing out some ideas. What are some things within our healthy Optavia community, or soon to be fully Optavia community, that we get to invite people to?
The Meltdown Challenge.
Awesome. And you might write these down, by the way, while people are saying them. So what else is out there? Martin, did you want to say something? No? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
We have our Wednesday night Habits of Health, which is really great.
Yep, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Healthy happy
hour. Oh, Dawn, what was that?
Our Healthy Happy Hour.
Yes, wonderful. Healthy Happy Hours, for sure.
Convention.
Yeah, National Convention. Absolutely.
This is a client track this year.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Health huddles come to mind. Mm-hmm. Right? We have those opportunities.
To be a part of a community like this, I mean, this is mm-hmm. this is phenomenal.
Absolutely. National Optimal Health Day. That we have now. It's another one that comes to mind.
Trilogy calls.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Trilogy calls. Yeah, for sure. Facebook private pages are support pages. Mm-hmm. So great places to invite people to.
Health talks.
Yeah.
Do those.
Mm-hmm. Health talks. Love it. I hope you're writing these down, guys, because this will be really valuable for you.
Well, and we just did the focus group. So the health focus group.
Yeah, absolutely. Focus groups are great.
I just think the friendships that you acquire while being a part of the community is a reason to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So just inviting people like to the healthy huddles, right? That helps them see the community and be part of that. Absolutely.
Well, and that just actually made me think about, you know, any part of our healthy lifestyle. So if I am going to be walking, I could invite people to walk with me.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we, in this new neighborhood, there's these like two couples that walk around the neighborhood every day, a couple times a day. And I see them walk and I wave at them and they wave at me. But like, what if we were to do like a neighborhood once a month, you did a neighborhood walk or something like that. And you were a community organizer. You organized people over the commonly unified idea that you wanted to get to. You're in the same neighborhood. There's common unity and you want to exercise together or something like that. This morning I invited some people to join the 6 a.m. spin club, my Zoom spin club. And I had a client join today, you know? And so there's a little workout community Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and I'm not saying that that's the thing, but can you create something that you invite people to come to, like a walking class or like Kim said, you know, something like that. So.
Yeah. Well, and here, I mean, like this is not stuff I've thought about before, but anytime we invite people to be in relationship with us, we're opening a door possibly to health. So it doesn't even have to be like, oh, I like photography. I could invite people to, you know, do that. Or I like to do scrapbooking. I could get a scrapbooking group. And the more time I spend with people, that's naturally going to come up. So the invitation, like, okay, that just blew the door wide open for me. Like is so many different ways and so many reasons I want to have as many people on my list as possible, because maybe the scrapbooking connection is the only connection with some people. You know,
I love that, Kim. One of the things that I've been doing that you've reminded me of is I do coffee chats with my list. So I just sit down my list, who do I like to have coffee with? And I don't even drink coffee. I go and drink tea. But we make an appointment together, and sometimes they're too far away, so we're not actually physically together, but we have a tea chat or coffee chat over Zoom. And it's just about getting to know them and, you know, what are they into and what do we have in common and those kind of things. And just exercising relationship, really. And I have found that there's been lots of fun opportunities to actually work together and start exploring together that happen just very organically. I don't even have to, you know, bring anything up. And that's not my intention even. It's just sort of comes into the door that way.
That's what I was going to suggest, Daniela, was that, you know, if we want to establish a relationship but we can't really get together because of distance or whatever, that we could do that Zoom, and we could do a one-on-one on Zoom and just, you know, get to know each other, or and it will move into health at some point, probably. Or if they have a concern about health, you know, you can talk more about it, and it can lead into this life-changing journey.
Yeah. I like that. I think the big piece to that is, at least for me, was not to go in with any agenda or expectation, right? But yeah. Just know that I always have my trilogy glasses, as is used, you know, so that I'm always listening for something that's in need, possibly, but it doesn't mean I'm even going to talk about it at that point in time. I'm just learning more and more about them. So, yeah, I love that. One thing I also thought about was, you know, we have periodic events like the Miller events, or sometimes Dr. A's in town or things like that, mm-hmm. That are also other events. So we have a lot of things that we can invite people to that are within our community. And so that's, I don't know how many events, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we're talking about 13 or 14 different events that happen or can be created to invite people to. And if you have this master list, then you get to go through it and sort, right? Because not every event's for every person, right? So for example, you're not going to invite somebody to the Meltdown Challenge who isn't into, you know, collecting points, doesn't have any competitive nature, does, you know, just maybe they're not a computer person or something like that. That's probably not the place to invite them. But if you know they're on Facebook, you might invite them to a focus group. Or if you know that that their business or where they work is by Starbucks, you might invite them to coffee. Right. So you get the opportunity to go through and kind of sort out the kind of events for those people and decide where they would go. So the next time that there's an event, you just pull out your master list and you get to go through and say, you know, who are the people that this event would best speak into their lives?
I was clearing my throat. I didn't realize I was not on mute, but.
Oh, no worries. Go ahead.
Share, which is funny. I wasn't actually going to share. So that's interesting that happened. So one of the things that, as you said, an event, remember out of that list, several of those quote unquote events are a relationship with you on your journey. Mm-hmm. Something you have a personal interest in, whether that be Craig and the indoor cycle, the cycle thing that he's leading, or that you like doing some particular knitting or I don't know, running, whatever it might be, knitting, running, you know, they're about the same. But with that said, that could be the code that you put next. And I can't wait to see this. I didn't type all of them out. I got like 9. I can't wait to see the entire list printed out on the OHC. So this is cool.
Yeah. Nice.
So something I wanted to kind of add in.
Yes, Christina.
is Martin was saying something about the, you know, the wedding invitation or the guest list or whatever that, that kind of reminded me, like, some people have like the meal choices for the reception or whatever, like you check a box and then they RSVP. Well, that's kind of the same thing with the events. You're writing the events in and checking the box and, oh, I'm going to invite them to this specific thing or a casual dinner or casual coffee or something like that instead of the different meal choices. It's kind of that. So I kind of got this picture of like this optimal health wedding invitation, like with the check boxes in it and everything. So it's kind of interesting how I just visualize that, like, oh, I don't just have to put them in like the chicken category. I can stick them in the fish category or the steak category, you know, different things, because not everybody's gonna be interested, like you said, in the same thing. So having that that mental picture of like, oh, that's what it is. It's not that difficult. I'm making things so much harder for myself than I need to. And so this is really, really helpful.
Oh, good. I love what you're saying, because it actually brought something else to mind for me, which is, let's not, like you're saying, on a wedding invitation, there's checkoff box, you know, different things that are going on. So we don't need to put, so if we have John Jones on our list, John Jones may actually fit into multiple invitation possibilities, right? And so how cool would it be to go down our list and kind of even pre-categorize some of these folks so that you know right away, oh, this is coming up. John Jones, you know, is one of my people that are in that category. And then we'll be able to get into action much quicker if we have that already pre-sorted. So I love that, Christina. Great insight.
Daniela, could I give just an example of how this worked for me just the last week? I on Saturday, and the Meltdown Challenge started Monday, I had five people, including myself, in my team room, and I was kind of panicking because I know in my head that I want to have at least 20. That's just a great number for interacting. And I started going through my list, and what I realized is that by having these people, so I have some people on my list, that people I really care about, I know they're struggling with their health. And I was kind of stumped. I don't know how to move that relationship forward. I've had several chats on Facebook. I just couldn't get that relationship to even go toward health, even though I wanted to be able to kind of bridge that gap with the person. But on Saturday, I probably sent out 50 messages on Facebook. And all these people, it's like, you know what? I just love how positive she is. I have no idea if she's interested in health. She doesn't look like she needs to lose weight. I'm just going to send her an invitation. Is this something you've ever thought about? I'd love to have somebody positive on my team like you. And this one person that I really was concerned about her health and wanting to connect with her about it, I just said, I don't know if you're into this thing at all. You know, I just really love the conversations we have. I would love to have somebody like you on our team. Have you ever thought about that? And I got the response, a huge response about her challenges with her health and everything else. Long story short, she didn't end up joining the team, but that's the most pointed conversation that I've had about health with this person. And the great thing is when I knew I needed to find people for my team. And the great thing is that there aren't too many people I didn't feel comfortable inviting, because I have really healthy people on my team. I have people struggling with their weight. I have all the whole gamut, but having that, I knew the invitation and having that master list, I got to look at those names and say, why have I never invited them before? You know, they'd be a great teammate, you know, and it really helped me see it. And it took like less than an hour to send out 50 messages, because I had, you know, pretty much the wording and just changed it a little bit based on their unique qualities and what I appreciated about them specifically. But that really helped me get, it was a breakthrough for that one person, because I didn't know how to move that conversation along. And that was a perfect segue for me. And then other people, I sent some messages out and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And they didn't join the team, but they said, oh yeah, you know, I've been looking at your program. I really wish I could do it. You know, like, and it was just an invitation to the Meltdown Challenge. And I didn't even think, I didn't even think they'd be interested, but I thought, I want teammates. I'm going to send it to as many people as I can. So
Nice, Kim. I love it. So we have just about 9 minutes left, I think, and just want to throw it out to the group. Any comments, ideas in regard to the list? Eileen?
This list, it sounds awesome. And that I like the idea that a person may fit into several different categories, but instead of reinventing the wheel, has somebody already worked up kind of a master list that that would be like, I don't know, like a spreadsheet or whatever that we could just plug our names into and, you know, start working on that, or we have to do it individually?
Ooh, I like that thought process. So I guess where my brain goes with that is I don't know that I'd want to stick people just in categories, because that category could change over time. So what I like to do is have my list and code each person with the events that I think, because that way when an event does come up, I'm scanning my whole list still, and I may not have marked Amanda, for example, for health talks, but then some things have maybe changed since I worked on sorting that list, and now Amanda would be. And if I would have had separate lists going on or separate spreadsheets, I might not think of Amanda. Does that make sense?
But then as you're saying that would be awesome. I see what you're saying. That's, what if you had a master list and it had like A, B, C, you know, and so Amanda may have, like, she may be A, B, and G or something like that. And so you can run that, and each time that event for G comes up, you've got a list of all the people that fit into G.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I think you still need to go back to the master list and see if there's anybody new that qualifies for G.
Danielle, you know, I have a spreadsheet, and I drive for Uber and Lyft, and so I have a tab for them. And then I have my pre-clients, and then I have my Meltdown Challenge team. And the Meltdown Challenge team might be a specific list. It's good to keep that separate. But I'm realizing that having my Uber people, I never click that tab. They need to be in my pre-client tab. Everybody needs to be in there, and then I can color code them. I can number them. I can do whatever. I can chicken, fish, you know, asparagus, whatever. I can sort them that way. But you just said something so powerful, is because when I have a new event coming up, I want to scan all of my contacts to see who would be appropriate for that new thing. Or if they're in a different tab, they might not.
Mm-hmm. And I think people, the nature of people is that we change, right? So we may have been on the Uber list for Craig before, but really wish we were on his health talks list. But if it's separate, as much as he would love to invite me to health talks, I'm on the Uber list and he didn't see me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to add, we're evolving, and this is so good. And now we're getting simplified in our structure. I know that some good tech is going to come out of this. You know, when I say tech, I don't mean digital necessarily. You can obviously make it digital or analog on a piece of paper, but the sorting system is what we're really talking about. And what we're first talking about is making sure that we are thinking about people. And in essence, if there was such a thing as an ABC list, reversing it is what I'm hearing, and making it to where we're focused on the wedding invitation, which is contacts. This is everyone that comes into our heart and our mind, regardless of whether we think that they would get healthy or not, right? Mm-hmm. And then I love that we're only putting a coding, such as maybe there's a B qualification that there's some suspected interest, as an example, or an A qualification would be that they specifically voiced an interest. There's nothing wrong with putting an A or a B next to somebody who was on your C list, right? Mm-hmm. That helps me when I do run back through my master list to know who I'm gonna contact first, second, and third. Because if I only have 30 minutes to go through, I wanna know who has shown interest, right? That's where that is. But beyond that, I'm hearing, let's also put the coding of, this is somebody to add to our healthy living support group. This is somebody to add to a Meltdown Challenge invite. This is somebody to add to the health talks that's coming up. This is somebody, and those codings can change. So if these names just sit in the list with the right coding, but not having separate lists, I'm just synthesizing the entire conversation and just saying that this makes it easier for us to sort quickly. and to move forward. But it all starts with the conscientiousness of a wedding list or who of inviting everybody to the party. Not everybody's going to show up or come, right? And that list, yeah, I love it.
Well, and I think just to you know, if you haven't been to a power hour, I would definitely invite you to that. But if you have your master list and you go to the power hour and they're saying, oh, you know, here's a great idea for engaging today. That might be a new invitation that isn't on our list right now. But you've got your master list and you don't have to start by creating the list and trying to come up with now who would be interested in that and really process that. You got the list visually and you're just going down, no, 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 yes, yes, no, no. You know, it makes it so much more simple.
Absolutely.
I want to give an action item encouragement just so that this doesn't sit around in the head. And you probably have something to send us off with, but I would encourage you to, if you don't, update all these separate lists onto a master list. And then to go through and identify who has already shown some level of interest in moving forward in life with me. Whether it's trilogy, I like Daniela said, your trilogy glasses. That means that there's some healthy body, healthy mind, healthy identified. But remember, it always starts with the whole list. And yeah, you could put an A on them if that's how you want to categorize that they showed interest. Who do you suspect has an interest if there was the right communication or the right invite? That might be your B list, right? And then you don't really need to say C list because C list is everybody. It's already there, right? That is already there. And then go back through and create those codes.
Yeah, so I might encourage you to, as an action step, is to take that list we brainstormed of all our activities and events and give it some kind of code that's reasonable to you and your brain. You know, I don't know, health games, HG, or whatever it is that you want to do, and create your key, and then go through that list so that you're ready when something does come up. And then just know when health games or whatever it is does come up, you know right away who to invite. But then go back through and review your list because maybe there's somebody new that now qualifies for health games. Plus, you will have added some people that you probably haven't put a key next to yet. So we are needing to close up for today. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And Craig's Power Hour starts in 1 minute, and he's posted the meeting ID in there. It'd be a great way to start using your list.
Hey, guess what we're going to talk about today? List. All right, so just so the recording, the Power Hour ID is 893-173-956. See you then. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.